Blog Talk Radio.
Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Shalom, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. It is your brother Mashaba, joined by my brother, my friend, Gabar Kawa, and inviting everybody to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. In fact, this here is our 997th episode of our blog talk format, blog talk class that we'll be doing since March 22nd, 2010. So thank everybody for tuning in, whether you're joining us live through the www.blogtalkradio.com website, or we might be calling in to our guest call-in number at 646-668-2568. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and checking us out. We want to go ahead and give praise and thanks to the Most High in Christ for giving us the opportunity to get into His Word and get more of His understanding. So here's to the Most High in Christ. And we would like to invite everybody, please check out isbhpk.com. Again, please check out isbhpk.com to keep up with the latest high holidays, the latest events that are taking place. Keep up with Israel wear if you're trying to get your Israel-like clothing or garments together, men, women, and children. If you're trying to get your scent game together for the house, for the body, for the car, for the mind, spirit, and soul, we invite you to check out Sweet Ambiance. They're on the website as well. If you'd like to make a donation to ISBHPK Ministries, there's a PayPal on there. There's a Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. I don't know if they pronounce it Zelle or Zelly, but there's Zelle. You can check out. There's also Google Pay and Cash App. And they also have the link to the Wells Fargo account if you just want to go directly from your bank account or debit card, whatever, straight to the Wells Fargo account to help out and help support this ministry, to help support the teaching that's going on as we try to continue to wake up the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel, being the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Simba Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans, scattered throughout North, Central, South America, to help awaken them back to their nationality, help awaken them back to their identity so that we can finally go home. That our Lord and Savior, who the world calls Jesus Christ, who we call in the Aramaic or the Paleo-Hebrew tongue, Yahweh Shai. Others might call him Yeshua, Yahashua, Yehoshua, or what have you. As we eagerly await His return, His redemption, His salvation, to free us from the hand of our enemies and from all that hate us, which will be bringing us into the tonight's topic. Now, if you look at the title of the show, Set Apart, Part 7, dealing with Uvalde, Texas. And I'm going to just tell everybody right now, tonight's going to be very controversial. If you really are embedded in religion and your understanding of Jesus Christ is really only through what you've learned in church, through religion, tonight, I can't be more honest. Tonight's gonna be offensive, right? Not that I'm purposely setting out to offend anybody. Not that I'm purposely setting out as a personal attack towards anybody in particular. But as I've been going over this Set Apart series, which is, as you know, started with profanity. It started with taking the name of the Lord in vain. That everything we've been taught through religion and theology and the media since 1492, when it comes to Jesus Christ, God, what God's righteousness is, what the truth is, has been twisted. It's been darkened. It's been given to us from the eyes and understanding of our oppressors, and we never got a chance to actually read the Bible. We never got a chance to actually get into the scriptures to read and see and to know what's being said.
Now, we know that when King James protected the 47 top scholars of the time to translate the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin scrolls into English, that was 47 of the top scholars that translated the Bible into English so that the common man, I think I can pull that up too. I ain't going to do it tonight, but so that just the common man might be able to see what the Bible actually says, what the Word of God actually is. Because I remember during this time, just a brief history, a brief recap. During this time, the only people that knew how to read the Bible were allowed to read the Bible. You had to go to university, or you had to be a cardinal or a bishop or the Pope within the Catholic Church. That the common man was not allowed to learn how to read and write and understand what the Bible was actually saying. And because of that, that's why there was a lot of corruption that was taking place in the church. A lot of corruption from adultery to extortion to straight up murder, rape, robbing, homosexuality. There was a lot of things that were going to. I'm sorry?
No, I was adding on child molesting.
There's a lot of these things that was taking place, and because the only people that could read the Bible was, again, which was written in Latin, Hebrew, or Greek. Either you were a scholar in a university, or you was involved in the church. So these scholars came to King James and asked him for protection to go ahead and translate the Bible, so that the common man, the low man on the totem pole, might be able to come back and be able to read and see what the Bible is saying, so that now you can detect or be able to discern if this bishop, this reverend, this pastor, this pope, whatever, this cardinal, if they were giving you the words of God, or if that was just something to fulfill their own lust, or something to fulfill their own will, or something to fulfill their own desires. That's even why you had Martin Luther, who broke off from the Catholic Church and started the Protestant Revolution, was protesting against the things that the Catholic Church was pushing. That was totally against the scriptures. That was totally against the Bible. But even in that light, he came with Protestantism and Lutheranism and what have you, it still was tainted. So by the time we get to 1492, with Columbus and Merton Incorporated coming to the Americas and bringing all the Christian, so-called Christian religions and theology to the Americas, it was done through the eyes of liars, of deceivers, of madmen, thieves, robbers. Real quick, Brother Gabar, please give me St. John chapter 10, verse 10. Christ prophesied about this happening too. Give me St. John chapter 10, verse 10.
Yes, sir. St. John chapter 17 and verse 10.
We're going to John chapter 10 and verse 10.
Okay, 10 and verse 10. St. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And it reads, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy."
Read the whole thing from the top. I'll let you read it through. Just verse 10. Go ahead. Read it again, please.
Yes, sir. St. John chapter 10 and verse 10, and it reads, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly."
So this is the prophecy of Christ that Christ was giving about what was going to take place in the future from the time he was speaking this. He said that when the thief comes, he's going to kill, steal, and destroy. And we can see now, as we're now sitting in the year 2022, and you look back in Master History with this scripture, with this prophecy, we can see that the thieves being the colonizers, how did they get the Americas? How have they gotten anything? How did they get Africa? How did they get the Philippines? How did they get Hawaii? How did they get control of the Caribbean? It was through stealing. And what they couldn't steal says, the thief comes not before to steal, kill, and destroy. And upon their arrival to the Western Hemisphere, we've had the destruction of pollution. The air is being polluted. The water is being polluted. The land is being polluted. It's being stripped of all its mineral resources. The rainforest being chopped down and destroyed, all for the love of money, all for the love of profit, all for the love of trying to get over. But it says, but Christ, the real Christ, the real Savior, he's coming that we might have life and we might have life more abundantly. Now, I got to touch on this just for a second, because a lot of people, especially coming from a church background, like to read this scripture. Yes, God wants you to live your best life. God wants you to live your best life, live life to the fullest. But we still, and again, this is going to be controversial tonight. I'm going to tell y'all right now, people still think living their life to the fullest is how they see the colonizers living their lives. That is living life to the fullest. Back in the 80s, there was a TV show called Lifestyles of Rich and Famous. Going back even further to just plantation life, that a full life was to live the way white people lived, to live in a big house, to wear the type of clothes they wore, to eat the type of food they ate. That's living the best life. That's living, as they say, the life of Riley. So we've taken that mentality. We've taken this scripture, live your best life. Or I'm assuming that Christ is coming, that we might live our lives more abundantly. But the only thing we have to compare it to is how the oppressors have been living their lives here in the Americas. So then, for us here in the Americas now, we're striving to be like Caucasians. We're striving to be like Black Lives Matter. We're striving for, give us civil rights. We want human rights. We want to be recognized as humans, not the three-fifths of a man. That's your constitution set up for us, that when you had the pursuit of liberty, life, and justice, that was for white people. That was for colonizers. That was not for the natives and the true Israelites that were here in the Americas. That we think living life to the fullest is being able to go in and if it's watching rock stars, watching celebrities, going all the way back to Errol Flynn and the old actors of the early 1900s, living a lifestyle that they had the biggest cars, even going way back then. They was James Dean on the motorcycle. They were the rebels. They were the Errol Flynns. They were the heroes. They were the John Rambos of coming to that era. They were the Elvises. That everything white people did, the way they slicked their hair back, so we wanted to slick our hair back because that's living your best life. We wanted to just be like them, imitate them. That is now living our life to the fullest. So we struggled and fought to make sure we go to college. We struggled and fought to get voting rights. We struggled and fought to get gun rights. We struggled to fight to get, again, just basic human rights so that we can live our lives the way white people do. And that is our understanding, and that's as far as our understanding goes for what it means to have life and live it more abundantly. So now we want to make sure we get out of the hood. We want to get out of the ghettos. We want to get out of the housing projects, and we got to go out and live, rub elbows with white folks. We got to make sure we're living out here in the suburbs and be recognized for my college degree, be recognized for I pay my taxes, be recognized for I'm a card carrying member of the NRA. That now living my best life, or to live life more life to the fullest or abundantly, means to live the way we see white people live, to have the things that they have. Not understanding when Christ said that. Read this scripture for me one more time, please. The whole scripture one more time, verse 10.
Yes, sir. That is St. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And it reads, to the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Now, one reason why we can only look at how white people live, and that's living. That if they eat snails, then if we eat snails, That's that we're living life to the fullest. We're living life more abundantly. If they eat crab legs, and if we're going to eat crab legs, because that's how what white people do, that's living life more abundantly. They even with like the Nation of Islam, as they rose, that no, they're gonna recognize us as men, so we're gonna make sure we put the bow ties on, and we're gonna cut the conks out of our hair, and we're gonna let our hair grow naturally, but they're gonna recognize us as men. That now, because I wear a suit and I wear a tie, that now you can recognize me as a man. And that now we're going to be living our lives more abundantly. But we're still only comparing it to how white people have lived, not understanding that, again, coming back because of religion, coming back because of theology, that when you're given a Bible that only has Psalms and Proverbs and the New Testament, there's no way you're going to get a full picture or get the context. When Christ said that they might have lived their lives more abundantly, that we might live our lives more abundantly, if you have no comprehension of the kingdom that Adam ruled, if you don't have no comprehension of the kingdom of the Israelites when we came out of the exit, when we came out of Egypt, and we went through the 40 years in the wilderness, what did the Lord give us in the land of milk and honey? What really took place? That if you don't understand that concept, you really are shallow in your understanding about what it means to live your life more abundantly. That when the Lord brought our forefathers into the land of Canaan, which became the land of Israel, He gave us servants. He gave us the wealth. He gave us the most fertile land on the planet Earth. He gave us houses. Matter of fact, let me get that real quick, Brother Gabar. Could you please give me Deuteronomy chapter 6 on the start of verse 10?
Yes, sir. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10.
Yes, sir.
And it reads, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not."
Now, hold on. So if we're going to deal with abundance, that we might live our lives more abundantly, he said that when we came into the promised land, we came to the land of milk and honey, we came into cities that were already built. So it wasn't like we was coming in and we were part of the blue-collar workforce. And we're talking about the whole nation, not just a few, not just the 1%, the 1%ers, the elite. The whole nation was elite. The whole nation was above. That we literally came into cities that we didn't have to build. We didn't come in having to do the landscaping. We didn't have to come in and do any of the engineering. We didn't come in and have to do any of the maintenance of the city. These cities, plural, were already built. And this was given to the whole nation, not just individuals. Reading on.
Yes, sir. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 11. And it reads, "And houses full of all good things."
And it says, "And the Lord brought the whole nation into houses full of all good things." If you think about religion, they would have you thinking that we just came into some huts. That we came into, we was like living like some Arab Bedouin travelers. And we was just dusty. We was just all we had was maybe a couple of donkeys. So I'm sorry, I said it again.
Nomads.
Exactly. That's the picture that they would give you about what life was like for the Israelites. But when you can't read the Bible and don't read the Bible, you cannot grasp what was really given to us as a nation. Houses full of all good things. Reading on.
"Which thou buildest not."
That we didn't have to build not one house. We had to build that one lean-to. This was given to us, that nations that were already in the land, they had already built these things up for us, and we came and just took it over. We literally housed the houses. Reading on.
"And wells digged, which thou diggest not vineyards.
Didn't have to worry about our water supply. How are we going to water our crops? How are we going to take care of our kids? How are we going to take care of our families, take care of our wives, whatever? The wells were already digged. The irrigation was already laid out. The crops and all the landscaping was already done. This was the Lord God, the Almighty, giving the nation of Israel life more abundantly. Reading on. It said, wells digged.
Well, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not.
Vineyards. What grows on the vine?
Wine.
He already mentioned olives, but you got grapes, you got peach orchards, pomegranate orchards, you got apple orchards, you got blackberry orchards, you got honeysuckles, you got honeydews, we had watermelons, we had papayas. I mean, damn. These crops were already built and prepared for us. It wasn't none of this white American mentality of you got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and do for yourself. This is what God provided the nation, and because of like prosperity teaching that's been taught to us from our oppressors, it comes to America to talk about manifest destiny. A lot of our own people think because you got a little bit of money that now you've been able to move out the hood, and you as an individual, now you're living in a gated community that you came up and God must be working with you, because you know what? If God was working with white people, now look how God must be working with me. That this must be God's doing. And it don't matter if I had to sell drugs, if I had to put on tattoos, if I was a comedian, had to put on a dress. It don't matter if I had to push Africanism, but not the Bible. If I had to push Scientology, but not the Bible. If I had to push
the Quran.
It's good. Go ahead. I didn't hear you.
No, I was push the Quran or the Muslim or, you know, anything but the Bible.
God. And now this must be God blessing me. This must be God, because you know what? The only thing I had to compare it to is how white people live. All thing I have to compare it to is white privilege. And now I'm having access, and now I'm part of the Republican Party. Now I got black cards, and I got credit cards, and I got a few houses. I have a few mansions. So now God must be working with me. He's not working with y'all. There's got to be something wrong with y'all. Totally absorbed into how white people have been living in America since they got here. Totally manifest destiny. And we're still trying to keep up with them, keep up with the Joneses, going into spending debts, going into all types of school debt or what have you, so I can give the appearance that I'm a good American, that I'm a good American citizen. But you're not doing any type of studying or reading about when God says live your life more abundantly, what did God give the Israelites that they might live more abundantly? All you got to do is go read. What verse are you in right now, sir?
We are in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 11 at the bottom.
Go ahead.
Which thou plantest not when thou shalt have eaten and be full.
You're eating food that did not have to plant? You're eating food that you didn't have to have to farm or maintain? Reading on.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. And it reads, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Read on, sir.
13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name.
So that's been totally removed away from us. That this understanding has been totally removed away from us. So now you got our own people going through depressions because if they don't keep their credit up, Oh, my God, how can I do anything if I don't keep my credit up? Oh, my God, I have to share a house with somebody? I got to have my own. Like white people, that I'm above this. I'm above that. How are they still killing us? How dare when I pull up into a restaurant or place of business, they look down their nose at me. I'm somebody. I vote. I've been to college. I got money in the bank. Why am I still being treated this way? Because we're not living, that's not the life that Christ said that we might live in more abundantly. It was not by us staying here in America under our oppressors. It was about getting to the kingdom where he said there's no more tears. There's no more sorrow. There's no more death. There's no more sickness. There's no more being policed by another nation in your own neighborhood. And liable to be shot, liable to be killed. And this, I'm going to use it as a springboard now to kind of go into this thing with the Uvalde shooting, the most recent school massacre, unless I missed one today or yesterday, but one of the most recent school tragedies, I call it a tragedy, was the killing of, what I think the number's now, 19 students was killed and 21 and two or three teachers were killed. Now, because of religion, well, let me do this first. Again, I'm telling you right now, this is going to sound very controversial when you are so embedded into the American worldly mindset. When your mind has been so conditioned to think the way Americans think and not the way God thinks, that you've been so in touch and tune with your feelings and with your emotions, and with what your heart tells you, that the scripture that we're going to go over right now, you're going to swear that this can't be the Bible. You're going to swear this cannot be the Word of God. And a lot of y'all are going to be angry at me because I'm bringing up these scriptures, and it doesn't let you cater to your feelings. That it doesn't let you make sure that your feelings come first, because that's all that has been fed to us here in the Americas since the arrival of the colonizers. That the American mentality is from all the restaurants, have it your way. I'm loving it. Just do it. Obey your thirst.
Right.
That conditioning.
You only live once. YOLO.
YOLO. You only live once. I'll try anything once. That I'm not gonna live my life by somebody else's rules. That I gotta get in touch with my inner self. I gotta get in touch with me. I gotta understand me. But you understand what God's purpose for you is. All we've been fed is the American standard. And when many of us don't live up to the American standard, again, we're dealing with depression, suicides, schizophrenia, paranoia, nothing but just straight fear. Because we've not been feeding off the Word of God. We've been feeding off our emotions and the emotions of everybody around us. And if not, gotten the Word of God. So from there, let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34.
Matthew chapter 10.
Hold on, before you do this, let's go real old school. Start verse 5.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. And it reads, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not."
Now, if all you have is just the Christian religion that was forced upon your people for generations upon the arrival of colonists here to the Americas, this scripture will make no sense to you. This scripture it got a lot of y'all blinded right now. It's probably got a lot of y'all with a headache right now. If for what you've been taught in church that Jesus Christ loves everybody, he came for the whole wide world. According to what you've been taught religion, this is Christ giving his commission, the apostolic commission, to the disciples, to the 12 apostles. And he's giving them he's ordaining them. And in ordaining them, if we can read verse 5 one more time, please, sir. I hope everybody's listening. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, and it reads, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not."
He commanded the disciples. Now, obviously the disciples are giving the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Christ gave them the keys and the understanding of how to get into heaven. Now, if Christ died for everybody, why is Christ being specific not to go to the Gentiles and not to go to a certain people if he died for everybody, if he loves everybody? But again, if all you have is whatever religion you came up in, whatever religion your families have been conditioned to obey and follow, submit to since the 1400s, and you've not been taught to submit to what the Bible says, oh, there's going to be some hatred. There's going to be some hatred. Reading on, sir. Reading on.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. And it reads, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
Now, he said there's a specific people or nation. First off, the word Gentiles means nation. So Christ commanded the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, do not go to the nations. And then he got real specific. And if any Samaritans, don't go to them either. Now, in spite of what you've been taught through religion about the good Samaritan, here Christ is saying don't go to Samaritans. Then in verse 6, he's telling you very clear. I mean, it's plain English. He's saying who to go to. Don't go to the nations, and especially don't go to the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Black and white. You know what? Black, white, red and white, because these the words of Christ are in red.
Right, because con.
No,
red and
white.
White. No. I'm agreeing with you. I'm in total agreement. It's you know, on my phone it's red and white, and you know, in my Bible it's red and white. So plain letters, plain English. I don't. That's straight to the point, and detailed. Specify.
Let's read.
Yes, sir. 10 and 7. Matthew, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Now, the message of the kingdom of heaven, if Christ told the disciples not to go to the nations, then is the message about the kingdom of heaven to the nations? If he told them, don't take it to them? And I know this is messing up what you've been taught and believing your whole life. What your parents taught you, what your grandparents taught you, well, whoever taught you. But I'm asking you to remember, remind yourself, your parents or your great-grandparents or whoever you go to, they was never taught the Bible. They were never taught the Bible. They were taught religion. We're not reading the Bible. So the message of repenting for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that wasn't for the nations, and it specifically was not for the Samaritans. The message of repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that was only for the Israelites. You can't get around that. But many have tried, and you're going to fail also. Let's keep reading.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. In verse 8. Heal the sick.
Of who?
Cleanse the lepers.
Of who?
Raise the dead.
Of who?
Of the house of Israel.
It can't be the nations. As much as we've been taught, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I want to pray for peace in the Middle East. I want to pray for all the whole wide world, that we all might come together and enjoy poking a smile and accept the conditions at the status quo. And I want to pray for the whole wide world. How are you? Look at how your religion has taught you to pray for the whole wide world. But Christ is saying, heal the sick. Of who? The Israelites. Raise the dead of who? The Israelites. Cast out devils from whom? The Israelites. Read verse 8 again, please, sir.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10.
If you got anything you need to say, bro, please go ahead and bring it out.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Freely you have received, freely give to whom? Who is Christ commanding the disciples to go to give it to whom? To the Israelites. Now again, this is Matthew the 10th chapter. We just read Matthew chapter 10. We just read down to verse the bottom of verse 8. Now we're going to jump up to verse 34. And again, let's compare what you've been taught through religion as opposed to how it goes 180 degrees against the teaching of the Bible. 180 degrees against, in the opposite direction of the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. And it reads, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
I don't know how much more plain that can get. These are the words of Christ, who the world calls Christ, the Savior, the son of Mary and Joseph, the Messiah. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. But what have you been taught and pushed out and your mind been conditioned to think for generations? That Jesus Christ has come to give peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That goes against what the Bible's saying. That goes against the word of God.
Even in the song, Joy to the World, silent night, everything is peaceful, everything is calm. You know, these songs are totally contrary to the actual scriptures.
Okay.
The actual scriptures of the Bible. I mean, it's from the horse's mouth. And what I mean by horse's mouth is, you know, from the authority. From their power, rulership, and authority on the scriptures. That's from the horse's mouth. That's from Christ himself.
Let's get Luke 12:51.
Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. And it reads, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth?
Maybe somebody's been teaching and pushing from Christmas to Easter to Kwanzaa to, maybe you're an atheist and you don't have nothing to do with Christmas. You don't have nothing to do with organized religion, but you in general just being a good person for what the American standard of a good person is, you just want to have there to be peace on earth. You just want people to just get along. And you're thinking that that's what it's just all about. But again, dealing with Jesus Christ here, because this is the words of Christ in red. If you're reading along, and I pray you're reading along and not just sitting there getting, well, we've been doing this for 30 years, so I know a lot of people just, you're sitting there cussing at the, if you're on the, if you're on your phone, you're cussing at the phone. If you're on the computer, you're cussing the computer out. And I can only imagine, I ain't looked yet, I might be getting some speed texters that are taking the shit out of my phone about how I'm just wrong. Why are we wrong for reading the Bible? Shouldn't you take some of that same energy and go to the leaders, the church leaders, and the people you've been following this whole time who never taught you the Bible? Maybe, but I know that's not what you would do, because you know what? That's why they killed Christ in the first place. Christ exposed people for their hypocrisy. Christ exposed people for their lying. That they really weren't about God. They was about their own glory. They was about their own, the way they looked. They wanted to make sure everybody saw how righteous they were and how holy they were and how they got the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit must be working with them because they speak in tongues and they catch conniption fits, act like complete lunatics so they can show and prove God must be with me. But Christ exposed them and they put them to death for it. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 51, if we can read that again, please.
Yes, sir. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division.
I don't know how much more clear. I believe how much more clear the Bible can get. Christ is not coming for peace, but rather division. And for a lot of people, especially when you've been taught to just follow the emotions, just follow the feelings, just follow your senses. And who has been the main ones that have taught us to follow your senses and follow your feelings and your emotions? It's been your parents or whoever you looked up to. Sorry, say it again, sir.
No, I was just going, you know, reiterate, follow your dreams, follow your own understanding, follow your mind,
follow your heart.
Yeah, follow your heart.
Hell, it was Toucan Sam. Follow your nose.
Follow your nose.
It always knows.
Right. right.
Follow what you like. So now, as the scriptures and as Christ is now being revealed, and the scriptures are now being revealed, Christ is telling you, he's coming to cause division. That now, for the people who have trained you and conditioned you to follow your heart, your feelings, your emotions, and now Christ, the scriptures are coming back and saying, no, this is how it is. There's going to be division. There's going to be division. But we get caught up in that. We want to, because we've been so conditioned to follow the crowd, and getting caught up in a mob mentality, that which way, if everybody's going this way, then it must be okay. Everybody. The water cooler talking around the water cooler at work. The gossip machine going on at work. That everybody feels this way. Everybody feels this. Everybody's thinking this way. So that must be right. And if that's not directly related to among black people, Native Americans, and Hispanics, so-called Mexicans, if that doesn't directly correlate to the conditioning and the atrocities that we had to suffer since the colonizers came, to look to see the reaction of everybody around us, and let me go along, so I can get along. That's this moment time where if this is how everybody's going, then it must be right. That's gonna keep me out of trouble. That's gonna keep me out of trouble, and I can now be accepted. Let me go with the crowd. Let me go how everybody else is thinking. Let me get caught up into that mob emotion. That this is how everybody feels. We can feel it. I mean, come on, brothers and sisters. Look at all the things that we even say amongst ourselves. That's in the world. If it's from wrestling, the Rock. Do you smell what the Rock is cooking? What's that connected to? Your senses.
Right.
Among our people, do you feel me?
Right.
Do you
your
feel
impulse.
Me?
Right.
I can't explain what I'm feeling, and I can't really talk about what I'm feeling completely, so I just know how to say, feel me? and that's supposed to now communicate the emotions, communicate the senses that we're supposed to be feeling right now, that is supposed to be shared right now. In sports, they say, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you can put in hard work, talent don't mean nothing. And for as talented as our people are, they play off emotion. They play off emotion. So they have a good night, cool. Bad night, they lose it. Got to go drink. Got to damn it suicidal. Got to use a couple lines of coke. Got to just go. Hard to paint. Because it's almost mandatory. You've got to be in touch with your emotions. And what's this bullshit they tell men? You need to get in touch with your feminine side.
You're right.
You can cry in front of me. You don't have to be hard all the time. Get in touch with the softer side of you. What are you talking about? But that's the mentality. Go ahead. Please bring it out. Bring it out. What are you saying?
Even in Eminem's, one of his most favorite songs of, you know, society that he put in was "To Lose Yourself." To lose yourself to your emotions.
In the moment. Karen.
What? To lose control, to not remain composed and focused, but to go into your feelings, your inside. You got to lose yourself in your emotions to be motivated to prosper in this world. That's what the song is about.
Okay. So when everybody in the world... I go to this church, I go to that church. I look on TV. They got the prayer vigils going up. They got the flower wreaths put up everywhere. We're putting on a yellow ribbon, a black ribbon, a pink ribbon, all in commemorance because we all feel the outrage. We all feel that it's time for a change. We all feel that we just feel it's a feeling. Christ came back and told us what, though? And again, this is what challenges people. You've been conditioned so bad to go by your feelings, your thoughts, your dreams, that as we go through so many scriptures, you actually reject the word of God. A lot of people, you actually hate the word of God. And that's scary. That, brothers, that's scary. Don't let nobody tell you can't feel the way you feel. You got to be your own person. If that's what you feel, then that's what you feel. Do you realize you're saying that to somebody who might be a pedophile? Do you realize you're saying these same words to somebody who might be a child molester? For all those girls that have been abducted, for all the boys that have been abducted, you push this mentality of go with how you feel. Going totally against the word of God. And then we say we wonder why these things keep happening to us as a people. That we do obey our thirst. We do follow our nose. It is about, what, do you feel me? Do you feel me? Do you feel me?
We do get carried away with our emotions. God. We get carried away.
Like a wave.
Right.
We get swept up. We get caught up following our emotions, but not following the words of God. So we're in you're in
Luke chapter 12,
52,
and verse 52. Yes, sir.
Go ahead and read 51 again. Go ahead and read 51 again, and go right into 52. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, and it reads: Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided.
They will be divided where?
In one house.
In one house. Y'all are living together. Just a family. If you have five people, that's mother, father, and three kids, that are going to be divided. There's going to be division. Reading on.
Three against two, and two against three.
Because somebody is going to choose to start following the Bible, while others want to keep following their emotions. And it's going to be the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's going to be the Crips and the Bloods. It's going to be some straight civil war going on in that house. Because everybody now is going to be looking for somebody to support them. Look, we're following our feelings. Do you support us in our feelings? We're following the scriptures. You can support us in the scriptures? And lines are going to be drawn. This is what Christ is saying is going to happen. And we see it happening. And the sad part is, a lot of people have been so damn conditioned, you can't see it. You won't see it. You're going to refuse to see it. Because it's all about you being told your whole life, your mom's whole life, your dad's whole life, your grandmother's whole life, go follow your heart. Follow your dreams. Yeah, if that's what you feel, then you got to go with what you feel. And come on, right, it's to the point now, especially among our people, when the first thing out your damn mouth is, I'm sorry, I got to tell you how I feel. I got to speak the truth. You're not speaking the word of God. You're speaking how you truly feel. But you've got that in your mind. I got to be allowed to speak my truth. I got to be allowed to speak truthfully. Not scriptures. I've got in my head, I've got to be allowed to speak what's on my mind. I got to be allowed to, this is what I'm feeling, and this is why I'm right.
In my opinion.
In my opinion. And you won't let me talk. You keep bringing scriptures out, and you won't let me talk. That's what you do. That's what you do. For us to be called Bible bullies, for us to be called, we're called the devil. Black people, it's white men.
Right.
We're the devil because we said, hold up, no, that ain't what the scripture says. No, that ain't what God says. Can't you just relate? Can we just talk?
Can we hear how you really feel? I know what the Bible says and you read it,
right.
But how do you feel about it?
can we real talk? Can we get some, let's put the Bible down and have a real talk. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm sorry. Now, us talking about what's on our imaginations, now that's real talk. Not to talk about what the scripture says and how we're supposed to be getting ready for the kingdom of God to come. Now, all of a sudden, somehow, real talk is We're going to talk about our feelings. And that's real talk. And yes, I want us to think about these things. Again, even concerning this Uvalde, Texas shooting. Yeah, even concerning this. Christ said, I didn't come to see peace, I came to see the sword. And as long as people, real quick, what verse you in right now? What verse you in?
It was going to be the beginning of Luke 12 and 53.
Go ahead and read that.
Yes, sir. Luke chapter 12 and verse 53. And it reads, the father shall be divided against the son.
I don't know how much more. The father is going to be divided against the son. If the son is now bringing scriptures, where the father has been living off his emotions his whole life, is there not going to be division? If the father raised his son to go off his emotions, but now the father gets the scriptures and is like, nah, I taught you wrong. We got to come back and I'll do it this way. That's what caused division. That's what caused separation. Reading on.
And the son against the father.
Go ahead.
The mother against the daughter.
The mother against the daughter. Read.
And the daughter against the mother.
A lot of us Israelites hear from our parents, I didn't raise you that way.
Right. I brought you up better than that.
I brought you up better than that. I remember hearing, you know, too much of anything is a bad thing. I said, hold up, Dad. You forced me to go to church every Sunday. But your ass didn't go. But now too much of anything is a bad thing? So now even too much of the Bible is a bad thing?
Right.
Come on now. Keep reading, sir.
We are in the middle of Luke chapter 12 and verse 53, and it reads, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law.
I ain't going to say nothing else. Go ahead.
And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
This is what Christ is coming to do. This is what Christ said he's coming to do. This is what as his presence gets closer and closer to coming back into the earth to save his people, that these type of situations are going to be getting worse and worse for those that are really about God, really about the truth, really about doing what's right. The decision is going to be, are you doing right by what the world says? Are you doing right by what God actually says? Is it right because you feel it? Or is it right because it's the word of God? From there, let's go ahead and get, let's go to St. John chapter 5 verse 39. Let's go to St. John chapter 5 verse 39.
Con. St. John chapter 5 and verse 39. And it reads, search the scriptures.
Brothers and sisters, those that are reading along with us, that listen to the class, if you haven't already just turned off or what have you. Again, these are the words of Christ. This is Christ speaking, the Savior. These are his words. Christ said, search the scriptures. Christ didn't say, search your heart. Christ didn't say, you had to look inside you and find it, the real you.
Come on.
And I don't know how many times over the past, since 1989, 1988, up to present, we can read people these scriptures, and they say, I need to go home and meditate on the first. I need to go ask my pastor, or my mom, or my dad. I got to see what they feel about this.
Right, like it matters. you know, it says what it says for a reason.
No doubt.
And I know for me, way back then, it was hard. It was hard because I couldn't believe that the scripture was going against what I had been taught all of those years. And really, the harsh thing about it, which really it isn't harsh now that I have the understanding, but the harsh thing about it was I didn't know shit about Christ and the Heavenly Father. And being shown that made the pride raise up. How are you going to tell me? Because then it became the person who was showing me the scripture was now my enemy, was now telling you, and not the scripture. And it just fueled my pride to give me the motivation to say, well, I got to go and let me ask my mom. Let me ask, you know, anybody but the scriptures or the person who was showing me the scripture. Let me, that was an escape.
Kind. And then this game turned to, well, that's just their interpretation.
Right.
But this is what the pastor said. This is Jesus really loves everybody. So how do they interpret it? They're taking it out of context. They're in a cult. They don't know Jesus.
Yeah,
that's why we're reading St. John chapter 5, verse 39.
John.
Christ said, search the scriptures. But the conditioning that we received here in America is search your heart. Ask other people how they feel about what the scripture says. And if y'all match feelings about what the scripture says, oh, well, see, y'all two must be right then. Because now righteousness is determined in this world by how a person feels, not by what the Word of God says. This is why Christ had to make sure this got written down. Search the scriptures. Now, brothers, sisters, come on. Think about this for a second. Think about this for 1 second, if you will. When Christ said this, was there a New Testament?
No.
So if you were raised in a church that only gave you Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament, there was no New Testament when Christ said this. The scriptures would be what? The Old Testament.
God.
That you didn't have access to. So how are you going to know that the religion that you're following or the conditioning, the mentality that has been forced upon you is the right one? If there's 52 weeks in a year, that means someone who's going to church 52 times in a year. And let alone we're going to throw in Christmas, we're going to throw in Easter, we're going to throw in Bible studies, so-called Bible studies.
Memorial Day. Sunday before Memorial Day.
Yeah. Good Friday.
Right.
Communion. You throw all this stuff in. How much have we been conditioned to just accept religion and not the word of God. So this is Christ. Again, St. John chapter 5, verse 39. This is Christ speaking. And he says, search the scriptures. Reading on.
For in them ye think ye have eternal life.
That's where you're going to think about eternal life. If you're searching the scriptures, you know what you're not going to be thinking about? Just how to pay your bills and get your credit up. If you're searching the scriptures, your mind's going to be on what I got to do to get eternal life. What I got to do to get to the kingdom of heaven, not how can I make it here. I need the next hustle, the next come up. I need another master's degree. I need another certificate. I need more food stamps. I need more hustles so I can live day to day here so that my mind's not on the scriptures. What do I need to do to please God? What do I got to do to please Christ? What about my life that I'm living right now is wrong? Let me search the scriptures. And then let me correct or repent and start doing what the scripture says. But we're going to all types of therapists so I can talk about my feelings. I went to a psychologist so I can talk about my feelings. I went to a goddamn bartender so I can talk about my feelings.
Norm!
Yeah.
The whole bar.
So I can talk about my feelings. But ain't no talk about what do we got to do, what do I need to do? Give me the scripture and show me what do I need to do now to please God. What about my thinking has been corrupted, has been dirty, that now needs to be straightened out? Let me get my mind right with God. Let me get my mind right with Christ so I can get eternal life. But we don't think about eternal life. I'm only thinking about my next bill. I'm only thinking about my credit score. I'm only thinking about my next meal. If I'm a young man, I'm only thinking about my next sexcapade. Hey, I might be a young woman. She's only thinking about her next sexcapade. And following the emotions. What's the next cigarette? What's the next drug? What's the next high? What's the next escape? Because my life sucks.
The next rush.
What's the next rush? So St. John chapter 5 verse 39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. I mean, that's where you're thinking about eternal life. If you search the scriptures. And what adjustments, what repentance has got to be made so you can get eternal life. Because right now, everybody's thought about eternal or life right now is, if I get that football scholarship, if I win the lottery, if Biden would just release another stipend, another what do they call them damn checks, whatever the checks are.
Stimulus.
We would just, I'm sorry?
Stimulus checks.
The stimulus check. If I can just get the next stimulus check, if I can get another BBA loan, if
right.
I can get another.
Now that you mentioned the stimulus check, the check is about your emotion. The title is to stimulate, bring feeling of what you want to do with the money that is on your stimulus check.
Yeah, we can stimulate the economy because, you know what, with everybody getting these stimulus checks, they're going to go out and be spending.
Right.
And why they gonna, so everybody got their stimulus checks, they're getting new cars,
right,
bigger TVs, more phones to stimulate the senses. The new Xboxes, the new PlayStations, I need to stimulate my senses. I ain't got time for the scriptures. I need what's gonna stimulate my senses next. St. John chapter 5 verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Go ahead.
And they are they which testify of me.
And the scriptures testify about Christ. But what's been given to us since the 1490s? I'm going to give a testimony, y'all. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. How did that damn thing go?
Sounds like Job's wife's frame of mind, right?
God. I'm going to tell you how the Lord, he knew the tax collector was coming. I said, Lord, 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 how am I going to pay these taxes, Lord? And I got on my hands and knees, y'all. I got on my hands and knees. And I said, Lord God of Abraham, Joseph, Lord God, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord God, Jesus, I will fear no evil, Lord Jesus. I know thou art with me, Jesus. Jesus, I'm going to commit everything to you, Jesus. I'm going to commit everything to you, Lord. And I went ahead and I paid my tithes. I was broke, y'all. I was broke. But I said, I'm going to pay my tithes anyway, because that's what the Lord would like. And you know what, y'all? I paid my tithes. I did what the good pastor said, even he didn't read me no scripture. I just did what the good pastor said. And by the time the tax collector came, I had that $20, y'all. I paid my taxes. God is good. Praise God. Won't he do it? Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Mm. If somebody's feeling God right now, somebody start dancing. If somebody feels the Spirit of God in here, feels the Holy Spirit right now, go ahead and shout. Shumala, 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 humala, shumala, shumala. If you feel the Holy Spirit, then let God know it. Hallelujah! Can't get an amen.
Oh.
Again, going on the feelings, not searching the scriptures. Let's get St. John chapter 7, verse 38. Let's get the book now, St. John chapter 7, verse 38.
Con. St. John chapter 7 and verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, and it is Christ speaking, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
He that believeth on me. Again, this is Christ speaking. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The scriptures are going to be flowing from you. That's what the water is. The water is the scriptures, which is the word of life, which leads to life, which is the commandments of life. Which is the word of God, which is life. Then now there's going to be the godly life. You'll be talking about it. You'll be speaking about it. What a godly life is. What a godly woman is. What a godly husband is. What a godly man is. But we have to believe on Christ as the scripture said. We got to believe. At least we've heard this in church, as the word became flesh, as the word was with God and the word was God, and as the word became flesh, and that flesh is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the word of God in the flesh. And he came speaking the word of God, giving us the word of God. How many times did Christ quote the Old Testament? What we call today the Old Testament?
So many.
I was
just saying that there are events where Christ healed and referred to the law, statutes, and commandments in the Old Testament.
Okay. Let's get Luke 24:45. Let's get the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 45. I believe that's it. I had pulled this scripture a long time.
45. Okay. Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. And it reads, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures."
Time. Christ came so that we might, for our salvation, but our salvation was dependent on what? Us understanding the scriptures. Us, and again, what scriptures were around when this was said? It's what today we would call the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha, including the books of the Apocrypha. That's what was around. And if Christ came, so we might not have an understanding of the scriptures. But since Christ left, and since we fell and been here in the Americas, we've been getting an understanding. You have to understand yourself. You got to understand you. You got to get in touch with you. How do you feel about the matter? How does that, when that happened, how did that make you feel? When this happened, how did that make you feel? And there's no matching up of the scriptures and other prophecies that for us disobeying the word of God, these would be the consequences. For us not following the word of God, there would be certain consequences and certain curses, certain tragedies that we would have to face because we've not been following the word of God. We've not been feeding off the word of God. We've been feeding off our emotions. And again, Christ told us all this. But we want to be caught into our emotions. We want to live by our emotions. And God ain't dealing with that. Give me a Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9.
Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And it reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked."
So as we've been taught in the Americas to follow your heart, be true to yourself, be true to your heart. What is God's feeling about a person and their heart? Where are we at?
We are in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, and it reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked."
The heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart, your mind, your thought process, the seat of your passion, the seat of your emotions, God says it's desperately wicked.
Okay.
It's gonna go against God every single time. Your heart, your emotions, your feelings are going to go against God every single time. Now again, and it's not just the Uvalde, Texas thing. And I know I'll probably get some clicks, people checking me out or whatever. And we got this part of the show, not really touching more specifically, directly on the Uvalde, Texas thing.
Really
right, we got a good bar back. We got a good bar back.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yeah, verse 13.
Verse 13. Yes, sir. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, and it reads, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Now, again, the thing that happened in Uvalde, Texas, it's a tragedy, but it's no different. I mean, it's no different. Our experience, our journeys here in the Americas under the oppressors, is really nothing new to hear our kids and our children are getting killed, being kidnapped. The only thing that made this a little bit different was that on national TV, it happened to be a so-called Mexican that committed this act of death, this act of violence. The thing that made it a little bit shocking is that usually we hear that was a white boy, a colonizer, being a serial killer, being going in with his AK-47s, his AR-15s, his automatic rifles, his saws or whatever, and just lighting the whole school up. When I was at Columbine, Sandy Hook, what have you. But the fact that white people have been, since they arrived in the Americas, have been doing nothing but killing us and creating the environment for us to be killing one another, that this shouldn't really be a shock. And especially when we're reading that Christ said, I didn't come to send peace on earth. I gave up to send peace, but let's war. Matter of fact, we got to hold this. Please hold Thessalonians, and let's get Matthew 24. You can start at verse 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start at verse 3. We'll read down.
Matthew chapter 24. Starting at verse 3, and it reads, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
I don't know. Do people read the Bible? The disciples asked Christ, How are we gonna know it's you, and that when you come, it's gonna be the end of this world? Every time you end a little league game or whatever, and you say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you not understand that you're praying for the downfall of America, and Russia, and Cuba, and China, Thailand, Guam? You're praying for Korea. You're praying for the end of all world governments. Every time you're praying for God's will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. You're praying for the end of democracy. You're praying for the end of communism. You're praying for the end of Democrats and Republicans. You're praying for the end of unions. You're praying for the end of debit cards and credit cards. This is what you're praying for. You're praying for God's will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. So the disciples are asking him, like, Christ, cool. How are we going to know it's you? And it's going to be, it's you coming, and it's actually the end of the world. A lot of y'all pray for Christ because you are the religion in your mind. You're praying that Christ is going to come back and fix your credit, so you can live your best life, so you can live your life to the fullest, so you can get a more gas-guzzling vehicle so you can go floss. or go get your electric car. So when the grid goes down, you still can't drive. Our minds are totally in the wrong places. But again, because you're so entrenched in religion and your emotions, you really think that Jesus Christ is coming to make sure you pay your car notes. Because Jesus knows, God knows what you like. God knows what I want. You're praying for the end of this world. If you're praying for the return of Christ. Reading on.
Con, we are in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4 now. And it reads, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many."
And how many religions that you follow are all man-made? How many of the idols that you follow? Michael Jordan was a self-made man. So you're going to follow his blueprint. Jay-Z was a self-made man. So you're going to follow his blueprint. That must be the key to happiness. That must be the key to joy. And you're letting men deceive you still. Reading on.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, and it reads, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things."
What happens in war?
Death.
People die. People get maimed. People lose limbs. People get burnt up all over their bodies. They lose. There's death. He said, "You're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars." Now, what if Christ tell his disciples, his students,
"See that ye be not troubled"?
This is what Christ told his students and his followers. Don't be troubled. But what's the world push? We need to hold some prayer vigils. We all need to get together and just have a good cry. We need to get together and get in touch with our emotions. You know what? I knew something wrong with him, because when that happened, he didn't cry. He just held it in. I knew it. He's going to explode. He's going to lose it. I knew it, because he won't get in touch with his feelings, with his inner self. Now, he's losing because he ain't using those scriptures. That's why he or she is losing it. You ain't using that one scripture. But reading on. Read that verse again, please. Tell everybody where you're at.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 24, and at the beginning from the top of the sixth verse. And it reads, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet."
All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. These things must come to pass. So as we're watching the news channels here in America, I stopped watching because I haven't been around my parents lately, but I don't even know. Are they still showing pictures of Ukraine kids
Yes.
Black people trying to escape Ukraine.
Right. And how the Ukraine's general of the army keeps asking the United States for to send troops and help. Still doing that. And our people and, you know, the other nations that are in this country are actually trying to answer that call.
They mean tugged at the heartstrings.
Right.
The heartstrings being tugged at. Just continuing to play on people's emotions. Chris said, don't be troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Reading on.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. And it reads, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places.
There's going to be famines. There's going to be food shortages. Remember when COVID first broke out? It wasn't just food shortages. It was toilet paper shortages, and people was going crazy.
God.
Behind toilet paper.
And
it's going to be
worse. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was, you know, and pestilences. COVID-19 is a pestilence. It's a disease. An infirmary. So, and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these kind.
And yeah. We are praying that the monkeypox comes and sweeps through America just like COVID did, sweeps through the world like COVID did. All these things must come to pass. These things don't come to pass, Christ can't come yet. And we've got to stay in this real quick, Gabar. I know I get you all different places.
Yes, sir.
Whole Thessalonians. We're going to let Matthew go. But give me Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, I think it is.
Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, and it reads, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that calls you.
Verse 4.
Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. And it reads, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father.
So Christ died again. Not only give us understanding of the scriptures so we can start doing the things that please God and not what our oppressors and people that hate us want, but that now that we might be delivered from this present evil world. But many of y'all are praying for this world to continue. You're praying for this present evil world to continue. Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. But before he can do that, there's going to be a lot of death. Before he can do that, he's coming to send us war. Before you can do that, there's going to be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, food shortages. We see gas, it's steadily creeping. It's steadily creeping. Come on. Last week, I haven't checked up on this lately, but they were saying that there's a baby formula shortage in America right now. Baby formula. Who would have thought that? Baby formula?
You mean the Enfamil and the Similac?
Yes. And more people are now worried about how we're going to do. Most people are worried about, you know, becoming preppers and becoming
Yeah, doomsday preppers. Yeah.
We got to become doomsday preppers as opposed to now the Israelites gather themselves together in Goshen and the Most High took care of us in Egypt when the plagues were striking the Egyptians. We won't do that, though. We don't want to get together and do God's righteousness. We want to do what's still most comfortable for ourselves. When we read about the famines in the New Testament, in Acts, the fourth chapter, there was a great famine that hit. What did everybody do? They came together. And whatever skill, whatever you had, you contributed to the community pot. And the teaching kept going out. And everybody was taken care of. Everybody had an abundance. But that's not going on today. Everybody is on self-preservation. What do I and my family got to do for us to make it still stay comfortable and maintain our lifestyle? And the fear of, I might lose my house where I've got control, where I can do what I want to do, and I can say what I want to say in my house, in my vehicle, in my whatever. You totally still have the white man's mentality, the colonizer mentality. You only worry about you. How you gonna eat? How you gonna drink? What clothes you can put on, and how comfortable you going to be. But it's going to take this. Going back now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Going back now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and... Verse 13.
Yep.
God. And it reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope."
So now, this again, this is Paul. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." We know the word ignorant means to be. Don't keep going around here untaught about the will of God and the words of God. Don't keep walking around here thinking that because you got some type of religion that you're living by, that now you've got it, and now you're understanding what God's will is. No, don't walk around ignorant. Don't walk around here untaught, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in them with. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13.
Right.
"But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." In Matthew 24, we're reading about a lot of death. In Matthew 5,
24 through 3 through 8.
Matthew 12, 5 through 8, there's going to be a lot of death. In Matthew 10, 34. Think that I didn't come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Christ is telling these things. So now he's saying about, so for all the people that are asleep or that die, it says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We're not supposed to be like the world. Because the world feels sad. Now we're supposed to feel sad too. The world don't have the scriptures. But look at how in tune you are with your emotions, but not with the scriptures. There are people, you really are addicted to sorrow. That if you're not going through something, you got nothing to talk about. You don't have a life unless you've got something to sorrow about. Like you ain't got one scripture. That your whole life is just built around How many people are going to listen to how much sorrow you got? But when you talk like that, you talk like, again, you got no scriptures, and like Christ didn't die. You talk like people in the world who don't have the Bible, who don't have not any scriptures. That all they have is sorrow. All they have is depression. We're not supposed to walk around like the people of the world walk. We're supposed to be set apart. And this thing, this depression evolving, we're not supposed to be sorrowing. We're supposed to understand it. Christ said this is going to happen. Christ said this must happen. Many of us want to take these feelings, though, to give us the excuse of not to keep working, to quit. I just want to go and be depressed and be sad, locked up in my room, drinking, watching porn, playing video games. I just need to get in touch with myself right now. I need to get into me right now. You obviously ain't into the scriptures. You obviously ain't searching the scriptures where you think you have eternal life. You ain't taking yourself back over now. One of the Most High kills fast, and the Most High is in control of everything. For as many times we've had to go over on this channel, the funeral scriptures about what happens with the spirit. Tyson Pond just did a whole series on what happens when you die. I mean, that was a 7-part series. It won't be none of that. It's I'm going to put on some sad music. I'm going to drink. Probably wear some real dark clothes and just be to myself. And when everybody looks at me, I'm going to give them the puppy dog eyes. I'm fishing for somebody to say, are you okay? What's wrong? So I can get more into my emotions. Not to God's word, more into my emotions. More into my feelings. And for all the excuses that we hear, you know, I ain't been in the truth as long as you, so I ain't got to the point where I can just cut off my feelings. I'm still human. Motherfucker, I'm not a robot. So you're human because you stay in touch with your feelings, and I quote scriptures. But now you let somebody tell you that you have more humanity than I do because you're more in touch with your feelings? Which is crazy. I get hit with the same feelings. Only I keep trying to do is, but hold up, that's what I'm feeling, but this is what the scripture says. I'm being pushed to feel this way, but hold up, this is what the scripture says. I take myself through the same thing, not trying to be a hypocrite. From there, let's get Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32.
Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32.
Yes, sir.
And it reads, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death.
The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. You will get further and further to your depressions. It says it's not about getting the scriptures. Hold up. hold this thought. I should have got it earlier, but I'm going to get it now. We just read about those people who have no hope. There's a reason why a person has no hope. Let's get the whole Proverbs and get Romans chapter 15 and verse 4.
Let me read that again. Romans 15 and verse 4.
Okay.
And it reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope."
So why is somebody, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, why are people walking around here having sorrow, like they ain't got no hope? You ain't getting no scriptures. The things that are written aforetime, that was written for your comfort, that was written, that the God gave comfort, you're not trying to mess with the God-given comfort. You want to appease your feelings. You want somebody to feed your emotions. And the scriptures ain't going to do that. The scriptures are not going to do that. So, but the scriptures will give you hope concerning them that sleep, that people that die. You go back and you listen to the reincarnation classes that we've done and what happens to a person's spirit once their spirit leaves their body. The whole series that Tom DePont just did, what happens after you die, knowing that he just buried his stepson. What else would we walk around here like we ain't got no hope? That all there is now is just doom, gloom, no good, just sadness. No. But now we, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32 again, huh?
Con, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32.
Yep.
And it reads, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness,
the
righteous has hope." I'm sorry?
I'm saying, go ahead and read the whole thing again. I'm going to read the whole verse. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32, and it reads, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death."
So, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. You ain't got no hope because you ain't got no scriptures, so you're going to get more and more depressed. More drinking, more cigarettes, more drugs, more sex, more comfort food eating, more obesity, because you just ain't got no hope. So you don't turn to what God gives for comfort. You have to do something that's going to appease your senses. Okay, I don't smoke. I don't drink, but I can't stop eating. I just got to eat. Because right now, that's the only thing that gives me comfort. Or I just got to sleep. Because that's the only thing that gives me comfort. I got to binge watch the stupidest ass shows on Netflix, Hulu, or whatever, just because I need something to ease my mind. I'm not going to use what God provided for comfort, which is the scriptures. I got to find something else that appeases my senses. I need to get into something that appeases my senses. You ever see how people go from, you might go from smoking cigarettes. Cigarettes is your gateway drug. Now I guess it's vaping. Where vape was supposed to be to get people to quit smoking, It's been the exact opposite effect, and they knew it. To deal with the stresses of life, a person will start vaping. And for a minute, that there's a rush to it. There's a slight escape to it. But that's just not strong enough. That's not easing the pain quite enough. So what's next? You buying a pack of cigarettes? I, well, not even quite that yet. You go from vaping, you might be drinking. And the only time you vape is when you drink. Yes, the music playing loud, whatever music it is, if it's sad music, if it's hardcore hip-hop, if it's hardcore country, whatever it is, you're giving yourself over to that. So you might vape a little bit, and then vaping and drinking kind of go hand in hand, just to help for what you tell yourself. It's helping you, you know, enjoy the moment, enjoy the atmosphere. It goes from that to cigarettes. Cigarettes and alcohol, there's just something like this. When you first get into that, that's just a ticket. There's just something there. If somebody gives you a vape and they put the, was it the THC or whatever, the good CBD oil in there, oh, yes, this is pleasing to the senses. I'm getting pleasantly numb. And if they'll let somebody give you some shrooms, then to ecstasy, to black tar, a coke, and then black tar. I forget the crack. Coke, crack, black tar.
Really? Right.
And then this fentanyl shit, good Lord.
Which is it's a tranquilizer, huh?
and 20 times more powerful than heroin.
Actually, it's 100 times.
Okay, 100 times more powerful than heroin. Because I need to escape. I'm not going to use what God has given. I got to find something that's going to appease my senses. Something that's going to make me feel better. So that the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. It's a snowball. It's a snowball rolling downhill. That what started small as you started with just vaping. How the hell did you get to fentanyl? You started with a little bit of coke on the tongue. You freeze the tongue, freeze the gums to smoking crack to ecstasy. They say once you've had sex with ecstasy, you're ruined. You're like a dog that just tasted some human blood. You can't go back. That once you reach that climax on ecstasy, and this is not an endorsement. This is once you reach that level of climax, to where your senses are blown. Nothing else will help you reach that climax. Nothing can get you there again. It's got to get more freaky. It's got to get more mischievous. It's got to get more depraved to stimulate you. And it's not the scriptures. And you shouldn't lie to yourself that you're in control when honestly you're not. But can't nobody tell you nothing. So Proverbs chapter 14 verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death. We can take this two ways. When the wicked die, a righteous man who understands the scriptures knows that person can still come back. That person is going to be reincarnated. That whatever pain they were going through, whatever suffering they were going through, that now that the death has taken hold of them, it's over. There is no more hell. There's no creature with a tail and a pitchfork and some red horns. That's all religion.
There's a purgatory. You can't find the word purgatory nowhere in the Bible. The scripture says that their spirit is at rest. It's over. It's done. They're resting. That's what the righteous understand as we keep keeping in the scriptures, staying in the scriptures, staying in the scriptures, thinking about eternal life. But for those who don't have the scriptures, all you left with is your sorrow, your emotions, your feelings. Which have nothing to do with Christ and the Most High. So, Brother Gabar, I was going to end it right there. If you got anything you want to bring out and say, brother, talk to me.
Bro, you can't edify, give the edification on this particular class any more clearer than you already have already. And so I wouldn't even dream to even put something on top of it. I think the understanding is very clear, and it came through the scriptures. All praises to the Most High in Christ. Basically, bottom line, we are the world, actually, because they are living on their emotions and their impulses, making their decisions off of their emotions and impulses and their feelings. And this is why the scripture says they have no hope, because you really don't have hope if you don't have the scriptures. And that's, hope is in the scriptures. Christ is in the scriptures. Salvation is in the scriptures. To deal with all of the afflictions and death that must come, he said not to be troubled. Why? Because we have the scriptures, and in the scriptures there's hope, and that's all.
We know where the spirit is going.
Right.
I don't have to sob as if I don't know what, man. I hope he's above looking down on me right now. No, he's not above looking down because he's resting.
Right.
I don't care if the nigga's last words was, "I'll see you in hell." No, you ain't. Nigga, if I die tomorrow, you gonna be resting? I'm gonna be resting.
You know, it starts even in the beginning of the scripture where it says, but beloved.
Bring it out. Come on.
Which, you know, obviously, if it begins with beloved, love is in the scriptures. He is giving us, you know, and then I'm going to leave it at that. And then you, you know, you can take it from there if you want to take it any further, but I'm good.
Okay. Well, listen, there's going to be a lot more death.
Con.
There's going to be a lot more death. And if we're going to still continue to be caught, use these incidents, even though Christ told us it's going to happen, but we're going to use these type of incidences and things going on just to feed our flesh, just to feed our emotions, then we're not getting it. We're not understanding what this is really all about. If anything else, I'll leave it on this note here. If nothing else, we should be taking the energy that a person feels for sorrow or whatever to help push this ministry. If you need something to do with that energy, help us with this ministry. Help us wake up more people so Christ can come, so we all get up out of here.
Right, and you know what? Also, you could actually end it on this scripture, because it's 1 Thessalonians 4:18. you know, it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, with these scriptures.
Time.
Help spread the comfort. Help teach our people to have patience and to trust in the scriptures and believe on the scriptures. And by doing that, believing on Christ, as the scripture says.
God. To produce our blog talk episodes, it costs $100 a month. And that comes from donations and everything. If you'd like to help us pay the blog talk, get in touch with us. Help us with this. We want to go out and get our flyer campaigns. We're going to go out and pass out literature and do some street evangelizing. We're going to need help with that. Get in the paper, get in the ink cartridges to print the flyers out. We're going to need a gas for our generator that we got so we can power our microphone to help get this word spread so people can hear the gospel. They can hear these words. Help out for the schools that we have. Help out. And I'm not saying this as a guilt trip. That wasn't the purpose of this whole thing. Like, I knew all the things was money. No, keep your money. The most I've word is not to go out void.
Right.
I'm gonna keep doing the blog talk. I'm gonna keep doing the blog talk, and as we get our YouTube channels established again, because I can keep the YouTube channels going, whatever. We're gonna keep doing our part. Because the scripture says, "Blessed that servant, whom his Lord when he comes shall find so doing." We're gonna keep doing our part. But if you want to help, well, you're helping the work. You're bringing your brick. Then help bring your brick in. You bring your brick in. So with that, I really do want to thank everybody for tuning in. When you tuned in, again, you tuned in live to the live episode of this broadcast, or if you check the archive out. We ask everybody.
This is 997, right? Is it 997 or 998?
I believe this is 90, just, I'm going to look again. I can't remember. I think it might be 98. But help us get this word out. Help us wake up all, and let me say this too. All nations are going to do the will of God. It's not just going to be the Israelites that are just doing the will of God. The whole world is going to be doing the will of God. When I was a younger Israelite, I say, hell no. You can't keep the Sabbath if you're not an Israelite. You can't not eat pork. That's how immature my mind was working. The truth of the matter is, all nations are going to be doing the will of God. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So to teach people to do right by God, how's that a bad thing? Only reason to be bad is because, no, I'm not asking you to be right by religion. Be right by God. Be right by God. So with that, goodbye. Unless you got anything out.
No, I'm good. I'm good, sir.
All right. Then let's give the Most High Christ a hand. And we're looking to get back to life, back to real reality. Hopefully we are.
All right. You're going to learn today. All right. You're going to learn today.
And I know for a lot of haters.
Two chops to the throat. Two chops to the damn throat.
Tell us if I put these in here. Cool. So with that, brothers and sisters, my name is Mashaba.
Gabar Kawa.
We would like to thank y'all for tuning in. And with that, let me pull up here. We're going to say shalom.
Shalom.
Shema
Israel, Yahweh.